Well, good morning. Welcome to worship at West End United Methodist Church. We come to celebrate the light of God's love. Good morning once again, and welcome to worship at West End. We're delighted that you joined us on this Epiphany Sunday when we celebrate the coming of the Magi to visit the Holy Family. Especially if you're here for the first time, we want to welcome you. And those of us who are here on a regular basis will seek you out to greet you and extend a hand of friendship. And if we don't get to you soon enough, you come introduce yourselves to us, because we're pleased that you're here and we'd love for you to make a home here with us. One way to do that is to be involved in what God is doing in and through this congregation. In your bulletin inserts, you can read about that. I'm going to lift up just a few things. First of all, an announcement about our Sunny Day Ministry. It will not be meeting tomorrow because of the forecasted bad weather. So those of you who are involved in Sunny Day, just be aware of that. Also, we've been talking a bit about covenant discipleship. And if you don't know what that is, or if you would simply like to learn more about that, there's a table in Reed Hall after the service. There will be folks at the table. You can talk to them about it. Next Sunday, we're going to focus on that as part of our celebration of the baptism of the Lord. But if you'd like a little heads up before then, please stop by the table and get some information. Also, our Wednesday evening programming begins again this Wednesday with dinner at 5, followed by children's choirs, Current, and a place at the table. Current will be featuring astrophysicist David Weintraub talking about the age of the universe and how it connects with science and religion and our own stories. Sometimes knowing where you came from shapes who you are and how you move into the future. That's at 6 o'clock in the fourth floor theater for Current. And then auditions for the Monologues of Mary are January 8th. That's following Current from 7 to 8 p.m. in the fourth-story theater. Many of the West End Sunday School classes studied these monologues during Advent, and we are preparing a performance of those later in the spring. So if you're interested, that's at 7 p.m. Wednesday evening following Current. God's love has been manifested among us in so many ways. The light of God's love shines in us and through us and around us. Don't close your eyes. Open them. See that light. Let that light shine through you.
Draw us by thy love and draw. God's gift of love has been born among us. Be careful, for a divine encounter often changes people.
We open our hearts to God's presence as we travel this journey together.
God's love is offered to all willing to risk the change that may follow. Too often we fail to recognize how simply accepting God's gift allows faithful change to happen in our lives. Year after year, we refuse to open our hearts and our minds to this possibility. Let us confess our inability to accept this awesome gift that God has for us. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners, and this proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen.
As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and peace. Peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Peace of Christ be with you. Annabelle, peace of Christ, and also with you. Peace of Christ. Peace of Christ. Peace of Christ be with you. Peace of Christ be with you. Peace of Christ. Let us join together for our prayer of illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A reading from the Gospel according to Matthew. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men came from the east to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. And they told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he said to them, then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may go and pay him homage.' When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. And on entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. And they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. And this is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
It was the old man's delightful responsibility to put his grandchildren to bed each night. They enjoyed it because they got to stay up a little later. They could always talk him into telling another story. And he enjoyed it because he got to tell another story. Frequently, they asked for the same story again and again, and they had a small selection of favorites. One of those, however, was also his favorite. He said, "A long time ago, when I was just a student, hardly older than some of you, some of my teachers, those who read the mysteries of the stars, saw a single star they'd never seen before. They saw it at its rising, and it was brighter than the others. They had read some of the prophecies of other traditions and other peoples, and in our own tradition, we knew that a star would mark the birth of a very important person, perhaps even a king. So they decided to follow that star. And they invited me to go along. It didn't matter that I was young. It didn't matter that I was inexperienced. I thought, what a wonderful opportunity. You can learn a lot in the classroom, but to travel with your teachers, to see them every day, to watch what they do, to overhear what they say to each other, what a privilege. We started on our journey. Following the star, we traveled until we reached the capital city of an area called Judea. The city was called Jerusalem, and it was where the king lived. Now, that made sense to me. If you were going to find a king that was being born, you would go where a king already lived. Well, we went to find this king, whose name was Herod. He seemed very interested in this prophecy, in this star, in this new king, I noticed that as soon as my teacher shared the idea that there was another king born in his kingdom, his face hardened. He sent to his people and said, "Go, I know of no children that I've had, but go check with my wives and my friendly female acquaintances and see if any have given birth to a child that we might consider a king." The word came back, none. "Well, where is this king to be born?" Herod asked. His own scholars said that it would be a small town not too far away called Beit Lechem, House of Bread. He gave us directions there. But he also gave us instructions. He said to us, "When you go and you find this new king, you come back to me and tell me where he is so I can make proper sacrifice." Well, we left the presence of the king of Herod, and we began to travel that short distance to this small village, Beit Lechem. There the star stopped right over a very modest house. Well, we'd been traveling a long time, over a year since we had seen the star. Herod had found that very interesting because he wanted to know how old the child was as well. But we expected something more than just a very modest house. We knocked on the door, and the mother came to the door. She was hardly more than a girl, hardly older than I was at the time. She invited us in, and there was the child. They called him Yeshua. He was running around like any toddler, making a mess, making noise, being called down by his mother again and again. He had not quite reached the terrible twos. Always the same question came from the same child. "Grandpa, what are the terrible twos?" And Grandpa always said the same thing. "You should know, I think you invented them. If you didn't, you perfected them." The child loved that. So he was not quite 2 years old, but he was running around like any toddler. And the mother and the father, who was considerably older than the mother, told us of the amazing events that had happened around the birth of this child, of what they had been told, of how they had been instructed to act and behave, and that he was going to be not just any king, but the most important king ever born into the world. He was to embody God's own love and light. Well, I thought that seems to be right. A star with light leads us to another source of light. This is very good. I was learning a lot on this journey. And then I had a very troubling dream. I'm not sure why it came to me. I was the youngest of the group. But in the dream, an angel, some say his name was Rufus, an angel warned me that we should not go back the same way that we had come, passing by Herod's palace, but that we should go back to our home by a different route, that everything had changed because of our encounter with this child. When I awoke and told the dream, the father of the child said that he had had a similar dream. An angel had spoken to him in a dream and told him that he was to leave the country, to go to Egypt, until Herod had passed on from this earth because Herod meant the child no good. And so we parted. We went our ways. They toward Egypt, us toward home, by a route we had never taken before, did not take on the way in. And that's the story. I don't know what happened to the family. People who traveled in that area since this time, I would ask them, "Have you heard of this Yeshua?" It was a fairly common name. One person told me they thought that there was a Yeshua that people claimed was king of the Jews who was executed. I thought, a king executed by his own people? How would that happen? I don't think that would ever happen. Although we knew about the Romans, and we knew that if you stood in the Romans' way, they would use any means possible to get you out of their way. Everyone who came and told about this king who had been executed said that when they left his presence, they returned to their home changed by a different route, by a different way, you might say. That no one ever met this child or adult who was not changed in some way. Perhaps he was a king. Perhaps he was that light of God shining in and through a single person. Perhaps any of us, including me, who encountered him, went home by a different route, changed. One more story, the children cried out, no, it's time for bed. Off to bed with you, there'll be another story tomorrow night.
What a tremendous blessing to be with you all in worship this morning. If you are a guest, we'd love to have you join us in Reed Hall following the service to find out more about our ministries and to talk with members at the Bread for the Journey table. If you look in front of you, you'll notice a gray card in your pew rack. On one side, you can put prayer requests. Please notify if you'd like to keep those confidential, and we'll be praying for you all week. On the other side, you can put any comments that you have for staff or lay leadership, and then put that card in the offering plate as it comes to you in a few moments. I'd like to share with you our sympathies are extended to three families. The first is the Bundy family, Kim, Bill, Will, Miller, and Lizzie Bundy. And their whole family are mourning the death of Kim's father, Donald Claire Jacobs, who died December the 27th in Maryville, Tennessee. Services will be held, were held there on December the 31st. Also, the Tettleton family, John, Anna, Gray, Sailor, and Maeve Tettleton, and their family are mourning the death of John's father, Robert Lynn Tettleton, who died December the 29th in Oxford, Mississippi. Services were held there on January the 2nd. And we're also mourning with Barbara Craig. Her mother passed away, Elizabeth Russell, on Wednesday, January the 1st. She is survived by her granddaughter, Shannon Craig. Services will be held at West End next Sunday, January the 12th at 2 p.m., with visitation preceding the services beginning at 1 o'clock. God has graciously given all that we have and all that we are. As people of faith, let us return thanks through our tithes and our offerings. Oh, thank you.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is right
and a joyous thing to lift our hearts and hands to you, God of light and love, in thanksgiving for your gift of grace. Before we knew the unsearchable riches of your child, Jesus, we walked in shadows and cloud. But now you reveal your radiance to the world. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your holy name and join their unending hymn. Blessed are you, Creator God, and blessed is your Son, Jesus. While wise ones brought him gold, incense, and myrrh, he grew to reveal to us countless treasures, radiant with life and grace, revealing the shining mystery which is you. As your light to the world, which the darkness will never overcome, on the night in which he gave himself up for us, our Lord took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup. He gave you thanks and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink from this, all of you. This is the cup of a new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. As oft as you do this, drink it in remembrance of me." And so in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Come, Spirit, dwell among us, your sons and your daughters, gathered here together to feast at this table. Use us to reveal your gifts of love and light for the entire world. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Now I invite you to join with me as we pray that prayer that Jesus taught to those he called brothers and sisters and friends, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen." Since there is one loaf, we, though many, are one body, for we all partake of the same loaf. When we break this bread, it is a participation in the body of Christ. And the cup over which we give thanks is a participation in the blood of Christ. This is our Lord's table, and you are all invited. You don't have to be United Methodist. You don't have to be a baptized Christian. If you're seeking a new or a renewed relationship of love with God and your neighbor, you're welcome to come and take this holy sacrament to your comfort. We invite you to come by way of the middle aisle. Kneel at the chancel rail. When you're ready to be served, simply extend your hand. You'll receive the bread first, then the cup. You're welcome to remain at the chancel rail for a time of prayer if you choose. And when that time is completed, we ask that you return to your seat by way of the side aisles. If you need to be served in your pew, just catch my eye or the eye of one of the ushers, and we'll be glad to serve you there. We do take an offering at each communion service. This month, the offering goes to support Second Harvest Food Bank. It covers many counties throughout the Middle Tennessee area, and we know that food is always a necessity that is in short supply for some people, and we can help provide that for them. If you would care to support that ministry, there are two offering plates next to the front pew. You're welcome to leave your offering as you come to commune. My friends, these are the gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You have given yourself to us, Lord.
Now we give ourselves for others.
Your love has made us a new people.
As a people of love, we will serve you with joy.
Your glory has filled our hearts.
Help us to glorify you in all things.
In this season of celebration, I have one more to share with you. West End member Louise Kellogg turned 93 years old on Christmas Day. She was at the first service, but I wanted to share that joy with you as well. Go in peace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit go with you always.
Amen. All right.